100 Word Stories.
Good morning, everyone. Welcome to the 100 Word Stories podcast at podcasting.isfullofcrap.com. I'm your host, Lawrence Simon. Today is Sunday, so instead of the usual daily stories from me, it's your turn. I call this the weekly challenge, where I post a topic and you come up with the stories. I also make excuses for the poor audio quality. I won't get into what the antibiotics are doing to me, but they are affecting the audio quality. The topic this week was Moon. We've got a lot of stories this week, so let's get right to it. First up, we have Thomas. Okay, Thomas, let's hear your story. No, really, let's hear it. Come on. Oh, wait, I didn't hit play.
The moon showed deep into Barlow's room. It was so bright that it woke him out of a heavy sleep and an exquisite dream. He stood, pulled his blanket around him, and sat by the window looking out over his gardens. The moon was a dark mandarin orange. Barlow could see movement in his backyard. Peering closer and refocusing his eyes, he could see figures crawling close to the fence. It was his neighbor, Bob, and his wife, Elena. They opened their mouths wide and howled like wolverines. Barlow had forgotten his neighbor's love of the outdoors and astronomy.
Thank you, Thomas. You're making me miss Carl Sagan all over again. The love of the outdoors and the astronomy? Oh, man. At least that Neil deGrasse Tyson is still, you know, he's, ooh, and science and stuff. And okay, I'll get back on the subject. Next up, we have Serendipity. And, oddly enough, she wrote about the moon as well. Golly, it must be the topic this week. Here we go with her story.
The old man sighed. He gazed affectionately at his now redundant ropes, pulleys, and pistons, then at the gleaming bank of buttons on the new control panel. You can't stay in the way of progress, he thought, checking his watch. It was time. His finger found the button neatly labeled First Quarter. Huge letters appeared in the sky, garish in their intensity. FQ. He grimaced. He paused to take one last look at his favorites, Crescent, Harvest, and New, lying dusty and worn in the corner. The man in the moon sighed again and quietly closed the door behind him.
Thank you, Serendipity. Man, do I feel like the old man in the moon this week. Oh, I'll tell you all more about it next week when the results of the tests are back. Yeah. Well, at least I've gotten back to walking and not eating a bunch. Not that I'm very hungry. But the good thing is I've stopped eating all sorts of really bad, spicy, icky food. And I really like yogurt and applesauce. I really do. Honest. I want a cheeseburger. Next up, we have Lizzie Goodcough. Oh, this is going to be fun. Come on, Lizzie. Let's roll out the barrel of fun. What? It comes in bottles now. All right, let's have a bottle of fun. What? You don't have an opener? Oh, Lord.
Not again. The moon was pink. Rose was tired of that CC color. She liked red. So, Rose decided to do something about it. She climbed to the top of the church tower, as close to the moon as she could get. Then she pricked her finger on the cross, and she stretched and stretched all the way to the moon. As she touched it, it turned into a beautifully bright red. The problem was, when she tried to come down and lost her balance, falling flat on her back. The last thing she saw was that damn pink moon. And this is my story for the week. I would like to invite you to drop by my writing blog at lizzygoodcough.blogspot.com and talk to you next week. Bye-bye.
Ooh, she sent an invitation to drop by her blood. Ooh, I hope she has, like, well, I was going to say little chocolate candies, and I can't eat those. I went to Dylan's Candy Bar. It's one of those fancy frou-frou. They sell, like, you know, Reese's peanut butter cups for $3, so it tells you what the prices are like. But they have stuff that isn't carried elsewhere. And, like, you know, chocolate frogs from Harry Potter. They taste like frog. And, well, I went in there and I bought a bunch of stuff and I haven't eaten any of it. Because it's gifts and I can't eat that stuff right now. Oh, well. Thank you, Lizzie, for reminding me. And I'll just take this invitation and put it on the shelf. And, ooh, whoa, it's got a hologram on it. Oh, cool. I'm going to wobble this back and forth while you people listen to Tura Bergianu's story. Ooh, this is shiny. Oh, yeah. Oh, no, the monkeys are jumping out of the... Oh, no. Ah, help!
When the moon is full, with binoculars you can just see the construction works. It's bigger below ground. What you're seeing is the solar collectors powering the machines that turn Moonrock into everything else, including more machines. Building Moon City, that was the idea. But the off-switch isn't working, and it's invented a way of using its blasting equipment to fire on any spaceship that comes close. The tunnel system doubles in size every year. They reckon it'll take 30 years to cover the whole moon. Maybe it will stop then. But I'm thinking, what if it invents space travel?
What'll happen if it invents space travel? Well, hopefully they can come here and fix all of the stuff down here. Ooh, ooh, yeah. Oh, that's cool. Oh, yeah, but hopefully they don't, you know, ruin the... Oh, no, evil tunneling robots are taking all of our tunneling jobs, and then all sorts of stupid laws, and... You know, I want a tunnel. I want a tunnel. Although, maybe it only works on moon rocks. I don't know. Oh, thank you, Tura. Next up, we have Katya, who has a horrible, horrible head cold, according to her notes, so that means, yep, the midget.
Hey, you're mooning the neighbors. Kylie drifts through the apartment in a cloud of smoke. Cigarette ash trails behind her, planting its seeds in the coarse carpeting. Here and there, butts are already sprouting. Dude, I mean it. Where's something? She bends over to retrieve her underpants from the grease-stained top of a pizza box, half-hidden under the coffee table. His beer hits the table. The glare hits Kylie. Her belly squashes into 2, 3, 4 rolls as she maneuvers her second leg through the hole. You're so beautiful. I love you. Yeah, yeah. See you next week.
Thank you, Katya. You're so beautiful. Yeah, yeah. Oh, speaking of beautiful, there's nothing more beautiful than a full Muncie. Yeah, look out in the sky. Look, no, that's a building. No, that's a balloon. No, that's a bird. No, that's a helicopter. Yeah, that's Superman. Yeah, I know there's no such thing as Superman. That's another bird. But that, up there, is Muncie. And it's a full Muncie. Ooh. Let's listen.
Bust it. This here's a tale for all the fellas, trying to do what those ladies tell us. Getting shot down because we're overzealous. Play hard to get, females get jealous. This is that tale. The Moon by Chris Monroe. There's a whole lot wrong in the world. The globe is warming, and we've passed peak oil. Our governments tell us we're safe from terrorism, but you know we aren't. A handful of bankers and lobbyists can destroy the global economy and be rewarded with billions of our tax dollars for it. And yes, sometimes this gets me down. But when it does, all I have to do is remember. The moon. We walked on the moon. We walked on the fucking moon. So yeah, please, look me in the eye and tell me we can't overcome our collective challenges. flashfiction@munzeestories.blogspot.com, tweets at MunzeeMunzee. Okay now, smarties, go to a party. Girls are scantily clad and showing body. A girl walks by, you wish you could sex her, but you're standing on the wall like you as Poindexter. Next day's function, high-class luncheon. Food is served and you're stone-cold munching. Music comes on, people start to dance, but then you ate so much you nearly split your pants.
Muncie, you want it, you still got it. Ooh, thank you, man. Next up, we have Logan Berry with... Oh, this is a letter. Oh, no. They sent a letter? That means that they put their 100-word story in the mail. Oh, dear. Well, I'd better read this one out so that they can remember what it was and then write it down again and mail it. So, here's Logan Berry. Midget, can you get over here and read this one? Yeah. And everybody else plug your ears because this was a private letter. So, shh.
Dear Earth Pen Pal, how's waste? I'm wasting pretty good. No, unfortunately my girlfriend is still constipated and may even be ready for the big recycle. Thanks for the idea of the bran, but we don't have that here, and I've never heard of a telethon. We don't really have much time for TV anyways, we are mostly busy mining. Both of my parents have been recycled, but I still have 24 siblings to keep me company if my girlfriend is reused. So don't worry, I will never be lonely, for though it may be barren and lifeless here, all our mining, sleeping, and wasting are done in big, happy communal pile-ups. And good luck with the new waste recycle program which you say Earth desperately needs these days. I am mystified by where your people find the idea gross. Happy wasting, your moon pen pal.
Thank you, Logan Berry. Dear Logan Berry pen pal, that was an excellent story. I enjoyed sharing it with you. The midget did too. How's things over there? Great. Okay, that doesn't work. Anyway, next up is Tom. Tom! He doesn't have any updates this week, but he does have two stories. Oh, goody! Oh, by the way, there's an extra special surprise coming up later, so I know you're like, oh, God, I want to hear my story, and then I can just, you know, close this out and start working on the next one. No, there's going to be an extra special surprise. I know you're giddy. You're not giddy? Well, get giddy right now. But until then, here's Tom. I know, you're giddy for Tom, too. You're just exceedingly giddy. Me? Ugh. Do you know what a Z-Pack does to someone after a few days? Oh, yeah. There ain't nothing left in the warehouse. Oh.
Hello, night people. Tom here. And tonight's story is called, The Rich Are Not Like You or I. In a previous lifetime, I ran pre-production in a printing plant. We did custom work for a bunch of the Silicon Valley firms and a fair amount of business with the Leland Stanford Junior College. My favorite ongoing job was with the student union. They had a photograph of a line of a dozen undergrads with their pants dropped to their ankles and their butts facing squarely to the viewer. We printed this image on a t-shirt with the following, Get Your BA at Stanford. Not to be outdone, Cal students printed a shirt, Moon Over Your Masters.
Thank you, Tom. How about another story? Okay, let's hear it.
Here's a second story. It's nearly true. Questionable judgment. Nelman Frieder was back in the ER. He had severe lacerations to his backside, which by Frieder's standards was not very noteworthy. The confusing element of this examination was the state of his pants. How do you rip your ass to pieces and not tear the pants? After considerable prodding by Dr. Dan and Nurse Betty, Nelman mumbled something about his cousin Kevin, seems a subsyllabic Kozkev dared him a case of beer if he would do it. What was the it? We were going about 10 miles an hour. Nelman looked sheepishly out the window. A moving moon.
Thank you, Tom. Now that Dick Clark is dead, I think it's time for you to brush aside Ryan Seacrest and take over ABC's New Year's Rockin' Eve. What do you think, people? Yep, I think Tom's the man for it. Come on, Tom, you can do it. Oh, and here's some chloroform to use on yeah, you can just... Ryan Seacrest, he'll go out like a light. Trust me on it. And you'll look good in a tux. Or you could do a tracksuit and still be more impressive than Ryan Seacrest. Trust me on this. Ryan Seacrest, he ain't nothing. All right, let's see who's next. Oh my God, it's... Well, he... Sometimes he's known as Clifford, other times as Uncle Monster, and... What? Is that the topic you're suggesting? Nah, not this week. Maybe next week, though. That one could be fun. Oh, by the way, folks, if you feel that there's something really, really, really special coming up, and, like, say, oh, it's Mother's Day around the corner, or, hey, I've got a new book release, and you want the topic really, really, really to be that thing, make a note and say, this would mean a lot to me if you made the topic this. That way I don't like, oh my God, he blew me off for the 176th week in a row. What a jerk. Ooh, I'll go back into the weekly challenge and try again. So remember, an abusive relationship takes two to abuse, one to abuse, and one to tell the press so that it can be all over the TMZ website. Here is Uncle Monster with his story.
Yes, it's time for another 100-word story by Clifford Lowe. This one's called Moon. Alice was the queen of the moon people. She'd been born in Brooklyn and lived her whole life there with no notion that there were such things as moon people. When she'd married, she'd done it for love, not money, which was good because there was never enough money. Her husband became bitter and angry and threatened to take out his rage on Alice. But she loved him, and never believed he'd do it. When he finally snapped, the moon goddess whisked Alice away just as her husband had been about to strike her. Bam. Pow. To the moon, Alice.
Thank you for that sentimental journey, Uncle Monster. And any story that begins with, Alice was queen of the moon people, has a special place in my heart. I think every story should begin that way. Ooh, maybe I should make the weekly challenge that next week. In Chicago. No. I haven't done a pick two in a while. I know a lot of you people don't like the pick twos, but I think they give you an opportunity to mix and match and have some fun and maybe not. At least this isn't 50 Shades of Grey, middle-aged porn. I mean, come on. Oh, shit. I just realized. I'm middle-aged, aren't I? Right. Well, Wednesday when they shove a camera up my butt, I'm going to be singing high notes. Next up, it's going to be Guy David. Guy David, let's hear the worst William S. Burroughs impression in the world, but you're going to have to claw that title from my shaking and palsied hands. Do you think they notice the fact that I mentioned that I'm going to get a camera shoved up my butt on Wednesday? No, probably not. Who am I, Katie Couric?
Elevator, a 100-word story by Guy David. I won't let the elevator get me down. In fact, think I might take it up, maybe all the way to the moon. How come elevators stop at the roof? They should go much higher. Would enhance their functionality a great deal if you ask me. Yeah, those elevators should go all the way to the moon. Then they should dance with the moon people. What do you mean elevators don't dance? Sure they do, when you're not watching. Male elevators take female elevator and make tiny elevator babies alone with moon people. That's why it's called mooning, you know.
Thank you, Guy David. Although for a moment there I thought it was William S. Burroughs. Dang. And he operated on the patient with just a rusty pudding can top. The mirror swirled and melted from the frame, dripping into his hands, reflecting all his thoughts and dreams. So, Jesus, the midget can do a better impression than both of us. Ooh, thank you, Guy David. Next up. In the show notes, by the way, in addition to the obligatory cat photo of the week, I'm going to post up something from Weeble. On the Moon with the Toast King. You're going to like it. Although, maybe not. It is kind of weird, but there are a lot of episodes of it, and it gets kind of strange. And
yes, right.
Speaking of yes and right, Sackman, how many stories does he have this week? Two? Wow, we're getting a lot of stories. So, I hope that you've settled back and relaxed, because, oh, we've got something even extra special coming up. Oh, yeah. I know you've been waiting for this for weeks and weeks and weeks, but I don't want to ruin the surprise. So, here's Zackman and his stories, but I know you're on the edge of your seat. Just don't get any further, because you're going to fall on the ground and hurt your butt. No, I'm... At least it's going to be a very small camera.
You mean to tell me after I force myself to stow away on a rocket ship that I am only here because Skinner Co. got bad intel? Your CEO is not an evil supervillain who is trying to build a moon base in order to take over the world, but you are a group of science fiction and gardening enthusiasts who believe that garden domes on the moon will encourage interstellar travel? Really? I mean, really? Did you think just maybe you would have avoided a great deal of suspicion if you had not called your lunar botanical gardens the Moonraker Project?
Ah, Moonraker. What an awesome movie that was. I miss it. Is there ever going to be a Moonraker 2? I hope there is. That would be so cool. Maybe... you know, a retirement facility up there in space. And what? What Roger Moore doesn't... Oh. Okay, never mind. Well, let's go ahead and play Zach's second story.
Damn it! I woke up naked in a haystack watching the full moon setting in the morning sky. I am not sure if that means I should quit drinking or should get new friends with less sense of humor than my present so-called friends. They went whole hog, even tearing apart this pig as if a dog ate it. Funny, I am feeling full and covered with blood. Might explain my dream of eating chocolate meat from a running soup kettle. I fear this was not a practical joke. Must be a joke. Because I cannot be werewolf.
Chocolate meat? Chocolate meat? Oh my god! I could have eaten that? Oh, well, I'm going to walk to HEB after this and go get some chocolate meat. Oh, thank you for the breakfast suggestion, Zackman. Oh, sweet. Oh, I'm going to go get me some chocolate meat. First, I need to refill my coffee cup. Yes, I know. My digestive tract is a total nightmare right now, and I'm drinking coffee. But the Baileys will smooth it out. all right? You see? I'm a thinking kind of guy. And speaking of thinking kind of guys, Chris the Nuclear Kid is growing into such a thoughtful individual. Let's go ahead and hear some of his thoughtfuls. Take it away, Chris the Nuclear Kid.
I put the tent away and went to the village. The village was small, but was still warm. As I walked, I noticed a boy watching me. "Hi, I'm Strone. I'm not from around here. Could you help me?" I said. "Hello, Strone. I am Firehawk. I may help, but you must be trustworthy," he said. "I will try to earn your trust in me." "Good. Do you know of magic?"
"I have heard about it. I've heard that the moon is the source of magic."
"Very well. Come with me. For now, get some rest. You have come far."
Oh, no. He's giving away secrets. The moon is the source of magic, which is why Buzz Aldrin has come back as a 10-foot-tall, face-punching tyrant. And Neil Armstrong? Oh, my God. He can leap tall buildings in, well, it takes him 2 bounds. He jumps to the side of it, and he just stands there, and it's kind of creepy. But you know how Wapakoneta is. Anyway, thank you, Chris. That was the first time you've heard Wapakoneta in a long time, hasn't it? Yeah. Well, here's someone who won't mention Wapakoneta, and it's Steven the Nuclear Man. Do you know I've been to Wapakoneta? It's in the middle of nowhere. Although you do go around Wyandotte County, oh my God. The popcorn there? Well, then again, most popcorn tastes the same. But anyway, here's Steven the Nuclear Man.
Steven the Nuclear Man here. The Crimson Pact Volume 3 is still out, and you can pick it up for only $5 digitally at thecrimsonpact.com, as well as at Amazon, Barnes & Noble. Also, if you missed out on the free promotion for Tales from the Crimson Pact, the sampler that contains 4 stories from Volume 1, and you want to check it out, it's still only 99 cents over at Amazon. There's some other stuff that'll be coming up soon that I think you guys will be really interested in, some other anthologies, both nonfiction and fiction, that I'll be releasing, and I really hope you enjoy them. This story is, again, a continuation. The prior two were Fool and Embrace, and so we'll see where this goes. But for now, on with the story. "Captain, you are to take out the Russian guns." The messenger begins to turn his mount to retreat to the command point. I cough, catching his attention. "Sir, which guns?" "Those guns," he says, and casually waves his hand toward the Russians. My gaze travels down the length of his arm, down the wide open valley, past 2 ridges full of Russian troops, and directly toward the enemy steam mechs. "You're doomed," my sergeant says. Past the enemy guns, I see the full moon, still visible in daylight. It is not yet set, and I smile a knowing smile.
And that, folks, is how you do a story, and how you do a plug. Sweet! Oh, yes! Now people are going to be rushing over to Amazon and going, "I have 99 cents. I want to spend it on that sampler." You see, that's how it works. I don't have any samplers up yet. I'm still working on this thing. I thought I was going to get The Wacky Adventures of Abraham Lincoln moved into Kindle format by the end of the month. But I'm not happy with the introduction that I keep writing over and over and over. No, I'm not going to show it to you because it's not done, and every one of them kind of suck. I am my own editor. I am my own worst enemy. Thank you, Stephen. Speaking of own worst enemy, what if you were your own best friend? Here's one from Lizzie Goodcough. Now, she says, "I'm so sorry for sending this story close to the podcast." No, 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 it's okay. I do these things Sunday morning, and I just got one of, like, you know, 20 minutes ago during the podcast. So it's okay. And even if it's late, even if I already post up the show and you're like, "Oh, I was inspired," go ahead, send it in, and I'll post it in the after show, even though we haven't had an after show for a while. but I can post it individually and say, hey, by the way, there's one more here. That's okay. It's cool, man. It's all right. So here's an extra one from Lizzie Goodkoff, and it's, well, you'll hear.
Aim for the moon, said her friend. And she did. She collected broken tiles, blue, red, green, and glued them on a cardboard the size of the moon. People thought she was crazy obsessing over those tiles, but she didn't pay any attention. She was on a mission. Yellow, purple, orange, she gathered all the colors except one. Should that color go in there too? Suddenly, a kid said, "The black's missing." No black, she thought. The moon will look better, and he smiled. Life is full of colors, but the kid's smile was the one she really needed. A big hug to you, Circe.
Aw, that was sweet of her. Thank you. Next up, no, we're going to wait on that one. I know, it's a big surprise. So let's go ahead and go with Norval Joe. I really don't want to ruin the surprise, but it's so exciting. I'm jittering in my sofa. We may need to get it reupholstered. So here's Norval Joe.
Hello, this is Philip Norval Joe Carroll of the Flying Island Press and of The Price of Friendship, available at Podiabooks.com. As I was editing my story just now, I realized I'd forgotten to use the prompt. So here it is, take two of Weekly Challenge number 313 with a prompt of Moon. Spleen couldn't wait to be away from the company. The stinking elf was too much for any goblin to stand, even a half-goblin. He crouched and watched from a distance as they prepared their camp by the light of the moon. He'd given the witch his word he wouldn't eat any of the people, but what good was a goblin's word? Spleen eyed the boy, alone, standing first watch. He licked his razor-sharp teeth with his scaled tongue. "Don't get any ideas, goblin," the ranger said from behind. Spleen spun around, hissing. Maybe he should eat the ranger first. Thanks for listening. We'll see you next week. That's a wrap.
Thank you, Norval Joe. Although, one about the topics. If you write something, and it turns out not to be on the topic at all, but you write anyway, I say go for it. Share it. And if you write more than one, share them too. As we've seen, there are quite a few people that write two stories, three stories, or possibly nine. No, that's giving away the secret. Okay, so it's all right, man. Like the one by Planet Z that's coming up does not actually contain the word moon, but it was inspired by it. It was a bit of creative just babbling and in the mind, and eventually the word moon got edited out. So if that's how your mind works, let's say go for it, man. Speaking of going for it, we have a story by Red Goddess. She sent this one in of like 20 minutes ago, and it's like, okay, cool, we'll get it in, because I do these Sunday morning. And I've said time and time again, if I'm still putting this together and you slip one in under the door, well, there's room for everyone, because I have unlimited hosting. But unlimited means, oh, well, if the servers, we're just going to cut you anyway, because that's how it really works. So here's Red Goddess.
Lola first fell in love with the moon as a child. She was transplanted, lonely in a foreign and unsettling new world. After landing at an overpopulated airport clutching her important documents, she looks to the moon for comfort. It's her safety blanket in stormy, restless nights, the only reliable roof over her head. It is the closest and farthest gift in her universe. She sees it from every corner of the planet, among clouds of uncertainties. Revealing its soft light when least expected, the moon, her companion, till they part eternally.
Thank you, Red Goddess. Every now and then I receive a story from Pale Infinity in Second Life. Sometimes they sort of might be on the topic, and sometimes they aren't. I'm not sure if she wants these as part of the weekly challenge. So I'm going to go ahead and share this one, and we'll see. We'll see. This one's called Thread.
It seems that a similar theme ran through her poetry. A thread of sadness stringing together most of her poems. There were some from the rare peaceful times that ventured into larger subjects, but most of them were about lost love. She couldn't stop thinking of her past mistakes and move on, so when she started realizing she was living with a ghost, she finally had something different to write about. Her new work attracted some fans. Maybe people now believe in ghosts and life after death. This particular ghost stole butter knives and hid things. Her weakness became losing things.
Thank you, Pale. Now I know where all my butter knives went. Whew, I'd been really worried. But not that I'm supposed to be having a lot of butter. I use olive oil instead, you know? Although, I'll stick to the applesauce and the yogurt and the soft stuff until I go insane. Speaking of go insane, I know you're just going insane right now, waiting for the big surprise. Well, here we go. It's the return of TJ. Spring has finally come to North Dakota, and he's thawed from the giant block of ice that has had him trapped for months. That's right, it's TJ. Oh, good. No, wait, don't get too excited. No! No, you're going to hurt yourself, people. You should stretch and limber up before you get really excited. Oh, man. All right, let me share some of the Advil that I've got. But still, sit down, relax, lay back, and enjoy, because we have a whole bunch of stories from TJ now that he's returned. This is great! I'm excited. Aren't you? No, don't hurt yourself again!
Hi, this is TJ. I am from North Dakota, and I've had to step away from the 100-word stories for a bit, but when the topic for this week was Moon, I had to submit an entry. Mild obsession, safer not to ask. And since my Museum of Family History series took a break the same time I did, I thought I'd resume it. When we left our heroes, my intrepid band of explorers were searching the second floor of Grandmother's hoard house, uncovering the mysteries of my late grandfather's workspace, and a mysterious room filled with doll limbs, doll's heads, and hundreds of flickering eyes as we continue our saga of
the Museum of Family History.
Where I left off on the topic of the meaning of life. Turned out the doll room was my grandfather's attempt at a perpetual motion machine. The rotating limbs and flickering eyelids eventually released a catch and snapped open a side door. Inside we found a laptop marked The Meaning of Life. I typed in, "Is it love?" "No, people have lived meaningful lives without love." "Is it sex?" "Sex perpetuates life. It provides no context for meaning." Other inquiries were similarly shot down. Is it kindness, power, influence? Until I typed in the question, does life have meaning? The laptop beeped, no. Thus spake Zarathustra, I mused. We continued our exploration. Topic, game. I give you artificial intelligence. The laptop had been nestled into a dusty confabulation of colorful wires, exposed circuit boards, and blinking LEDs that seemed to have grown back to life with the flickering doll eyes. Beyond this tangled mess, my grandfather had cleared a space where a robotic armature hovered over a game board, quivering like an arrow newly sprung beneath a heading of Artificial Intelligence Interface 2. Grandma was mystified. She'd clearly never been to this part of the horde before. "Should we play it?" she asked. I didn't know what to say. How much artificial intelligence was required to play? Sorry. the topic fingers, I give you workspace. Between the perpetual motion machine still chittering away and the laptop and the game, we were moving into a part of the house that was purely Granddad's domain. But since he and my grandmother were both inveterate hoarders, there was a generalized fluidity to the massed collection of things, useful flowing seamlessly into useless. My fingers traced a line in the dust along three steamer trunks held closed with a hasp when there was a resonant clunk from within. The five of us, my grandmother, my sister, my Aunt Betty, Uncle Lou, and myself, looked at each other with dread. The topic, I don't know what this is, I give you discovery. Not having any idea what was inside the steamer trunks, I reached with some trepidation for the hasp in the center. A shuddering creak sounded as a panel opened and a whoosh and a shriek from Aunt Betty as a cat scurried past her ankles. The noise had come from a reel-to-reel recording apparatus in some apparent reaction to the springing to life of the creepy perpetual motion machine in the next room. Of course, I may have just associated the two with the pile of extra doll parts that poured out of the trunks. I shuddered and hit play. And the topic rhymes with itch, I give you recording. I hit play on the ancient recorder and we listened to the staticky voice of my grandfather reciting a snatch of verse. The sitch is this, it rhymes with itch, and which rich bitch would snitch my niche will pitch a fit to learn that it will not be hers, so sit on it. The rest of us were mystified, but my grandmother was pale with anger. You sit on it, you crazy old bedbug, she wheezed before collapsing into a chair. What did he mean, Nana? My sister asked. But my grandmother grabbed a lamp and smashed the recorder. On the topic, fool, I give you epiphany. Crazy old fool, she breathed. In another part of the house, the lamp she'd destroyed along with the reel-to-reel recorder would have been defended as priceless antique, although my guess was most of the junk we were up to waist-deep in was non-functioning. As I spied what looked like a sort of steampunk spider in the corner, my guess was also my hope. He swore he'd outlive me one way or the other, Grandma groused. There was no viewing, as he'd prearranged everything. I bet he's still here somewhere. In spirit? Barb asked doubtfully. Grandma snapped. And maybe in person, too. The topic, sick, I give you the awakening. The thought that any part of my grandfather, or maybe his entire corpse, might still be in this miasma of doll parts, cat waste, and scrap, frankly made me sick to my stomach. The ashen faces of my fellow explorers, all of whom had encountered eyefuls and snootfuls in this adventure, told me I was not alone in this. I'd certainly be more circumspect about any further steamer trunks I encountered. My heart wasn't ready for the churning metallic nightmare that sprang to life in the corner. That spider-like contraption resolved into a humanoid android, topped with Granddad's embalmed head. On the topic, hugs, I give you panic. Greetings, a voice said. It was not my grandfather's, nor did it come from my grandfather's dead head tumbling around in its jar of embalming fluid. Rather, it was mechanical, probably programmed by him, operating on the principle of an artificial intelligence that assessed life as being ultimately meaningless. So it wouldn't necessarily matter to him that he died if his inventions lived on, although he obviously thought he'd be living on as well, sustained by them. That was clearly not the case. That didn't stop his machine, however, its metal arms extended, lumbering toward us. Who wants a hug? On the topic, Moon, I give you resolution. The race down the stairs was unanimous. The android that pursued us was hampered by Boolean decision-making, unmaintained hydraulic servos, and its having been built by a kook. The cats raced out ahead of us as a clanking, artificially intelligent machine cut its own path through the horde. At the entryway, I lit books of matches and threw them into the horde. The last we saw of Grandad was his wild death mask floating in a blaze of fire in a mechanical mess stuck through the floorboard. We hugged each other and wept in the moonlight. Distant sirens began to wail.
And that, my friends, is the TJ Tsunami. Rolling over us all with awesomely writing goodness. Welcome back, TJ, and thank you, thank you, thank you. Which are 9 stories, I should say that 6 more times. We have one more story this week, and yeah, I know, it's by Planet Z, but still, you're kind of used to it coming at the end now that, well, there's no more voting. Oh, I should probably refill the coffee mug. I need to go on a long walk today. See if I can make it. I've been running out of energy, though. So, I may do just a double loop. I may loop around that block, and then that block. And hopefully I'll get about an hour in. I know that... Hold on. I just want to see something. Did they put out a new... I listened to yesterday's To the Best of Our Knowledge. And I don't know if they've got the second one out there. Let's see. And TT book. All right. Other Worlds. I already listened to that one. Okay. Past, Present, Future, The Imagined. Yeah. There's a good book in that one, though. And Levon Helm. I listened to that one from NPR. And I already listened to the Carl Zimmer. They're replaying that. And History According to Bob, the Venice ones. I've enjoyed the Lincoln ones, but the Venice ones? Oh, man. That's just... Oh, well. Ooh! There's a documentary from the West Yorkshire town of Bradford from BBC Radio 4. I may give that a listen. So, anyway, here's Planet Z's story, and I hope you enjoy it.
Just as Earthers construct their deities around their experiences, so do the denizens of other distant worlds. The Calpasians are skilled digestive builders, creating temples to their butt god, who shat out their world in various chunks and splatters. It's impossible to stop Nautilusian prug priests from droning endlessly about how we're all living inside a chamber of Ba-Prong's mighty shell. And when a leak guest bag starts talking about the mighty sh-pop expanding and contracting with every sunrise and sunset, you'll wish you had a knitting needle. Oh, I'm sorry about serving that spaghetti for dinner. Do Pastafarians still eat breadsticks?
And there you have it. A bunch of really good stories about Moon.
Thank you to everyone who was a part of the weekly challenge this week in the 100 Word Stories podcast. You can go to the website at podcasting.isfullofcrap.com for links to the authors' websites, the text of the stories, an archive of shows, social network sharing options, and a whole bunch of other stuff you won't bother with anyway. Until next week, where the topic will be hotel, this is Lawrence Simon saying thank you for listening, and, as always, keep it brief.